Good morning, I'm Donna Quinn, and for the next half hour, you'll be listening to Talk of Our Towns. Today, we will be addressing grief. Grief affects all of us in different ways. How does grief relate to anxiety, to the world condition, to our personal lives? Today, my guests are Caitlin Stecker. She's a licensed clinical social worker and an internal family systems trainer. She's been in Astoria for many years. Many of you know her and love her. And Caitlin Stecker, welcome to the program today.
Thanks, Donna.
And I also have Noah Rubenstein. He is a licensed mental health counselor. He also is the former CEO and founder of goodtherapy.org. Good morning, Noah.
Hi, Donna. Good morning. Thanks for having us.
And these two extremely gifted people are presenting a workshop in September at the Nettel Grange. It's called The Grace of Grief. It's happening Friday, September 18th, through Sunday, September 20th. And we'll find more about that during the program today. This is a big topic, but before we start talking about it, let's learn a little bit about each of you. So, Noah, why don't we start with you, since a lot of folks maybe aren't familiar with you?
Sure. Yeah, happy to share a little bit. So in the context of grief, it's a kind of an easy way to introduce myself. Grief hit me at a very young age when I was separated from my mother. My brother and I lived with my grandparents for a couple years while my mom was involved in a therapy cult, which later became responsible for the largest mental health malpractice lawsuit in the history of California, because there were hundreds of people that had been mistreated, abused emotionally, physically, and sexually by this therapy cult. And that's a whole other story that we're not going to dive into here, but it's relevant because I lost my mom and it broke my heart and left me with these attachment wounds that I had largely buried, the worthlessness, the unwantedness, the unlovable feelings and beliefs I carried were largely buried until I was 21 when they started to surface. And so eventually therapy saved my life, IFS therapy saved my life, and grieving saved my life. Had I not learned how to grieve, I wouldn't have been able to unburden the worthlessness and the unlovability that I carried. And so, like a lot of therapists and mental health practitioners, it's what drew me into the field, because I really needed to heal myself. And so that's why I do what I do. I've been in practice in the mental health field now for 30 years, trained in IFS, over 25 years ago, roughly. And I really am honored to sit with people who are living with grief and living with burdens from their childhood that prevent them and stand in the way of feeling optimistic, feeling trust, feeling joy, feeling hope, feeling confidence, feeling calm, feeling compassion, and many other feelings. And ultimately, that's the goal of the work that Caitlin and I do, to help people to shine in their light and their love.
Oh, beautifully said. Thank you, Noah. And I don't know which of you wants to talk about IFS, but somebody, because there may be listeners who are saying, I don't know what IFS therapy is. So,
Yeah. Caitlin, you want to take that?
Yeah, sure. Well, the word, or the letters, stand for internal family systems. Probably would have been a little better to have a different name, because it's confusing hearing the family in there, when it's really the inner, as it says, internal. It's the inner family of parts of us and the relationships between those parts of us. And we work to get to know these aspects of us that we're in at different times. They're different brain states. One day we can feel, you know, really down and kind of despairing, and then we perhaps get some help and support, and we begin to feel more hopeful and enthusiastic. Those are different parts of us that we need to live our life. But most of us at this point don't know that those are actually strategies that we used and developed as children, not consciously, totally unconsciously, in order to be able to survive and live in the environment we grew up in. So it's internal family systems. It's an incredible way of healing, really emotional, physically, spiritually, psychically, whatever. We're in 42 countries now, and it's quite the thing in many, many, many cultures, including ours.
And Caitlin, please introduce yourself to the listening audience.
Yeah. Well, actually, I was thinking, you know, there are some folks probably listening that we know each other a bit. And those that don't, I want to say I'm really excited because next week is the 30-year anniversary of two groups that I've done since 1996. On Tuesday night, a women's group, and on Wednesday night, a mixed group. And we're going to, those folks and others are going to be celebrating. And if there's anybody out there that was in group, I just want you to know it's 30 years that's been happening. And I've had the incredible privilege of being able to be part of this community and experience the kind of healing and connection. I'm working with the grandchildren of people that I started seeing 37 years ago. And it's a great privilege. And I'm really happy to be here. And that now Noah and I are bringing to our community in Astoria and Clatsop County this work with grief, which you'll hear more is something that both of us feel is so essential for the healing of individuals as well as our world and our communities.
And I would like for each of you to give me your description of grief, because if you look it up, obviously it says it comes from the Latin, which is gravis, heavy, weighty, you know, something that, you know, grief is just, you like, oh. And then Caitlin, you said something I thought was really amazing when we spoke the other day. You said, you know, grief is our relationship to loss. So I would like for you and Noah to talk about what you think of as grief and how it impacts us, whether it's through, you know, anxiety or our, you know, disorders and, you know, our behavior. I mean, you know, how is this relevant to us in our worlds today?
Go ahead, Noah.
Sure. Well, grief is a difficult thing to define. We all know it when we feel it, though, right? Yeah. You know, it's everything we suffer and struggle with. It's the resistance we face, the things that we wish were different, the things we can't control or hold on to, the relationships we lose, the loved ones who pass, all the disappointment and loss. And it's a reflection, I think, of perhaps unmet needs. Oftentimes it's our heart cracking open. And it's very human. It's a human experience that we want to honor and that we want to actually bring closer, because the common response to it is to push it away. And there's an Aikido to it, bringing it closer, holding compassion for it, allowing it, allows us to move through the grief. And it has all kinds of hidden gifts. One of them includes gratitude. When we get through to the other side and we can actually become bigger than the grief, we become grateful for everything that we've been through. Mm-hmm. But it takes inner work to get there, usually.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I'm going to add, you know, Donna, you're saying it's kind of hard to define. I think part of that difficulty is that grief is very different if one is experiencing it alone or if one is feeling support of others and community. And that's really the essence of the work that Noah and I are doing, is to create and support the development of this community over the 3 days that we meet in the grief retreat. because it shifts how people experience their grief, to have the support and to have the messages from their community that it's okay for them to feel and to share, to be in whatever state, in whatever kind of relationship to their losses that they're in, that there isn't an agenda. And part of that is to be able to shift what our experience has been for most of us in this culture, which says, get over it, you know, you're stuck in it, you're all this kind of judgments and ideas and agendas about grief, which are not fitting. Each person's grief is unique. And when they're supported, they're able to experience it. And it can bring, ultimately, with support, aliveness. But many of us haven't experienced that before and wouldn't even know that's possible until we actually have an opportunity to be in community around grief.
Yes. Well, so many of us had nobody to turn to, no one to hold us, who could allow us to feel and cry, to soothe us. And because of that, we don't know how to soothe ourselves, or to tolerate our own grief. And like Caitlin was saying, it feels for many so intimidating to bring our grief to others, to be seen, to be witnessed, and many fear judgment and shame. So Gracie Grief creates a safe place.
And I really like what you all have written. If you're interested in the Grace of Grief workshop, which is happening in September, you can, if you just Google the Grace of Grief Astoria, you will get to their website. But what I really like that you all have on your website is grief is not a problem to be solved. It's a sacred human experience. It calls for presence, care, and community. In today's culture, grief is often hidden, privatized, or rushed through, leaving many isolated in pain. Grief is far more than the sorrow over the death of a loved one. And this part I really love. We grieve relationships, health, lost dreams, the state of our world, the unmet needs of childhood, and even the unspoken weight of ancestral wounds. So grief impacts all of us, not just someone who's suffered a loss of someone or something they love. It permeates our culture. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it's absolutely imperative if we're going to heal and, you know, live any kind of freedom of our own authenticity in this life, that we have a chance to have that experience of having all of that grief honored and essential, and to be able to have the permission, again, to be with it and explore it and feel it in the ways that we specifically experience it, that there isn't a formula, there isn't a right way. But again, when we're socialized in, you know, our families to some particular way of responding to our emotions, grief is often one of them that parents, and understandably, have a very hard time being able to be with, because it's so disturbing to have your child be often in that much sense of powerlessness and overwhelm. And yet that's how, if we can get that support as children, we can go into our life and we can then shed the tears that literally help our body metabolize the experience we're having. Because that we're made to share and feel this enormity in our bodies. But we can't do that if it's not been invited into ourselves and our families. Until we experience that, our system will shut down around it. And unfortunately, when we shut down one feeling, we shut down all feelings. So it makes us less than to not have had that experience of welcoming our grief.
Yeah, and the grief that we hold in is so large and so powerful, and it's barricaded for many of us, and it's enormous, really. And there's just so much to come out, and you know, holding it in is it's like being emotionally constipated.
Yeah. But as you say that, I just had someone yesterday just say, I can't let myself feel this. I would disappear. I would be taken over. I wouldn't be able to go to work. I wouldn't be able to function. So our fears of how huge it is keep people also then from not letting themselves experience it. And it's understandable if you haven't really had that be supported and welcomed when you're a child. Then you're going to carry that feeling that a child has is that, it would take me over, it would annihilate me if I let myself feel it. And yet it's not a set, it is not something that has to have that impact if we have support.
Right. We survive, we can process, work through the process, continually working through it. And I think anxiety is like the number one thing happening in the world today, affecting more and more people all the time. And I know that underneath all the anxiety, there's got to be a lot of grief. If you've just tuned in, you're listening to Talk of Our Towns. I'm your host, Donna Quinn. Today we're talking with Caitlin Stecker. She is an Astoria-based licensed clinical social worker and internal family systems trainer. And we also have Noah Rubinstein here. He is a licensed mental health counselor and the former CEO and founder of goodtherapy.org. They are offering a workshop. It is The Grace of Grief. It's happening Friday, September 18th through Sunday, September 20th at the Netel Grange in Astoria. If you Google, you will be taken just Grace of Grief, Astoria, you'll be taken to the website. And so let's talk a little bit more about, we know that in tribal cultures, people were able to support each other and process, and now we're in our own individual little spaceships, traveling through, and so we aren't sharing and healing the way that they did in tribal cultures. And whether it's situational grief that we have or ongoing grief, there are many different kinds of grief, I imagine, and they're all connected to all the other emotions, which, by the way, I love this idea. Emotion is energy in motion. And so there's, when we have emotions, there is energy in motion. So let's talk about how the two of you decided to structure the Grace of Grief and what's going to happen there.
Yeah, can I just want to share one of our mentors is Francis Weller, and if anyone's interested to explore this more, his book, The Wild Edge of Sorrow, is an incredible resource around all grief and the ways in which we are now suffering because we've lost the wisdom of the early times when we lived in villages and communities. And of course, in those times, which even 100 years ago, with people lost and felt a loss, they weren't alone. People, everyone around them knew it because it was a community and a connection that was daily. Now people can have a significant experience of loss and grief, and no one around them knows it. That they can go to the grocery store and nobody that they encounter there is able to be with them and give them a sense of acceptance and welcoming. And so, again, that's why Noah and I are creating this community, creating this opportunity for people to physiologically in their bodies actually experience having their grief welcomed, and that people can also, by being with others and making space for their grief, the message to their own systems is it's okay to feel this, it's okay to share this. And we explore all the impediments to that initially, of course. It's like knocking on the door and finding out what needs to happen for the door to open. And so we work with that, and we're respectful of people's protectors, we call them, that would say, uh-oh, don't go there again, you'll get overwhelmed, or people won't like you if you act like that, whatever it is. But we're able to have people explore that and get permission from their protectors. And many people who were in our workshop in February say that there was that opening until they were able to be with their own emotions in ways that they'd never been in their life, and that it continues now that they are able to be with themselves in their life and actually now teach the people around them to be with them in a more accepting and inviting way of their emotions, particularly their grief. It's changed their lives.
Well said, Caitlin.
Mm.
Yeah, we're helping people to change their relationship to grief by, on one level, bringing their own compassion and kindness to their heart, to their suffering, to their pain. On another level, allowing others to care for them, to bring the compassion of others, the kindness of others, to be known, to be seen, to be witnessed, and then bringing the higher love in, which is something that just tends to happen on its own as we open our heart and allow compassion to flow into our grief.
Yeah,
There's
and
an
one thing, I want to say with that too is that please, anyone listening who might feel an interest, no, you do not have to come with one big, huge grief or that you've just had an enormous loss at all. You may generally in your life feel like you're doing pretty okay, and yet you also know that in your experience, you've not had the community or the sense of a culture that has really encouraged and again welcomed your grief. And that if you can, what I can say about it, more advertising about it, is that if you can, it has everything to do with physical health. People who can grieve and tear, have the tears of grief that have more toxins in them than any other tears. It's a cleansing experience to be able to grieve and cry. And not that you have to cry at the workshop. Nobody's required to cry. However, there is a way in which, again, having one's system get permission that it allows for an aliveness and a vitality. You can tell the people who have had the opportunity to really feel their grief supported and welcomed. And it, again, does not have to be a big, a big deal. I mean, can't be alive and not be grieving, even if it's just you grieve, the day is done at the end of the day, and that day is gone. So.
There's so much grief in the world. I'm just thinking about my own situation and all the grief I'm holding on any given day. My kids pulling away because they're teenagers, my stepmom who's aging so quickly and kind of losing her memory, the state of the world right now. There's always a lot.
Our aging bodies. I mean, so
Yes.
many of us
Oh,
are
boy.
aging into more vulnerability, more sense of loss of the groups of people that made our world. And so it's not like anybody can say, oh, I don't have any grief. I mean, that could only be said with the meaning, I'm not letting myself know that I have grief. Because being alive in this world is to feel loss and grief.
Absolutely. And gosh, we only have about a few minutes, five or so minutes left, but I want to address, some of the things that you think are the important things to let people know, because it isn't something we get over. It is something that we all experience. And this culture certainly is into grief denial big time. And so the fact that you are working with, Frances Weller, did you want to read something from Frances Weller?
Yeah, I did. This is what he so beautifully said about this idea of community. It says, imagine the feeling of relief that would flood our whole being if we knew that when we were in the grip of sorrow or illness, our village would respond to our need. This would not be out of pity, but out of realization that every one of us will take our turn at being ill and we will need one another. The indigenous thought that when one of us is ill, all of us are ill. Taking this thought a little further, we see that healing is a matter to, in great part, of having our connections in the community and the cosmos restored. The truth has been acknowledged in many studies. Our immune response is strengthened when we feel our connection with community. And by regularly renewing the bonds of belonging, we support our ability to remain healthy and whole.
Oh, that's beautiful.
It is, and it's so true. I mean, you can feel it just by, and that's again, if someone says, "Well, I'm interested, but I don't want to go and I don't want to share anything," I'll say, "Please come, please come," and you will be supported in experiencing this the way that it fits for you. There are no expectations of how anyone has to act or react, but the feeling of being in a community of people willing to share whatever is happening in the moment is so healing to the body. And again, that's what people are telling me when I see them that we're in the retreat in February. It's like that they have more life force, they have more vitality, they have more hope, they have more sense of open-heartedness, they're more generous with their friends and family. And they said, "I can't believe how much just being there changed my life and open me."
Yeah. When you were talking, Caitlin, I was reminded of something that happened last night. I was at an open mic called Death Stories, and a woman was sharing a story for 10 minutes. Her husband committed suicide, and she said, "You know, anytime someone asks me how he died and I say suicide, they kind of don't follow up. They pull back. They their curiosity goes away, and they just don't want to talk about it." And what you were sharing about, Caitlin, was just the opposite of that. What Francis is talking about is that this need for a place in our culture where we can care for each other and be okay with our grief, be okay with our
Oh,
suffering.
gosh. We just have a couple minutes left. Any last things that you would like to say to the listening audience?
Well, I would say again, if anyone is interested, they can get the information that Donna, you've been sharing on the web, and then either Noah and I will connect with them if they either ask for some information or if they want to register. People can register. I've got quite a few people already that are saying, "Well, I don't know for sure, but I really think I want to do it." And I say, "Well, go ahead and register, because if then something changes, we have a refund if you cancel within 2 weeks before, so that if you really feel called, go ahead and register, and then you'll know your spot is taken and you can see how life unfolds."
Yeah.
Hey,
And
no.
for yeah, I was just going to add, for finding the workshop online, the best search term is the Grace of Grief Astoria, and it should come up. We're using HumanTix as our platform for people to register to get more information.
Thank you both so much for making time and for putting a light on the subject that we often put in the corner in the dark. And that can liberate us, free us. It's connected to every aspect of our being as humans on this planet. So I honor your work. Thank you both so much for doing it.
Thank you,
Thanks,
Donna.
Donna.
Thank you.
Thank you, Vary, for being our engineer today. And my gratitude to Michael Brun. He's a local talented banjo instructor, and he composed the original theme music for this show. Talk of Our Towns airs the first Thursday of each month. Thank you so much for joining.